Followed Equestria, Homelands, by Somber. Chapter 21, Broken Oracles. Not knowing sucked. Rampage had said that once, and Scotch had been dismayed to learn how right she was. When she'd escaped 99, everything seemed wondrous and terrible all at once. Blackjack had gassed her home, killing everyone she knew. Knowing that was almost surreal. It was easier to just think of them all as doomed in some cruel but blameless twist of fate than to deal with the fact that she was traveling with the executioner of all the ponies she had ever known. Not that it had been a wonderful home to begin with. To her, it had been her whole world, and she hadn't understood what the place was. What it did to people. That things could have been different. One rainy night, while Blackjack was running all over the wasteland, laying bad ponies and blowing up prisons, Scotch asked her father if he'd ever loved her mother.
"Love?" he said as he stared out into the dark. "No, to be honest, she wasn't that different from the Overmare to me. To her, I was a thing. Her fantasy stallion and her fantasy dream. She used me, just like every pony else did, to suit her needs," he told her. "But she wasn't any worse than any of the others. They were all bad."
She hadn't had the guts then to ask if he included her in that thought. It'd been hard learning that about her home and her father. Knowing what went on in her stable, knowing what they'd done to her father and so many other stallions. It was a feeling she didn't think she'd ever be able to fully wrap her head around. Torn between what she learned from her father and how she'd grown up. How did anyone deal with that? But before she'd even had a chance to try and understand it, they'd gone underground, and something had happened. Something bad. A room had tried to eat her. Eat all of them, actually. That's what she'd been told. But Blackjack had excised the memory, along with several others that left not quite empty holes in the depth of her mind. She'd taken those memories from her in a futile, idiotic attempt to make her happy. The specifics had vanished into the ether, but the terror remained, formless, hungry, and waiting. Every now and then she might see a gaping maw in a rusted panel and pause, or hear the shriek of rending metal as its integrity failed, and feel her heart race. Because something would break through the threshold of not knowing from that void in her mind, and the thing would begin its soul-rending wail. If she knew, maybe she could have dealt with it. What was the phrase the smarter ponies used? Contextualized? Processed it? She was starting to sound like Pythia. She had to make it make sense. But how could she make sense out of memories she didn't have? It was a broken part of her, a shameful part, made all the worse for its unfairness. Who could be condemned for simply not remembering something? Now she woke with a splitting headache and the hollowness of failure in her gut. She was on a bed at last, and as she stirred, she felt a claw on her shoulder. Precious or Skylord? She peeked back at Precious.
"Hey, you okay?"
the dragon filly asked.
"I passed out, didn't I? That sound like I'm okay?"
Scotch grumbled. They were in a sort of barracks, with a dozen bunk beds arrayed in two rows. The dim bulbs on the ceiling flickered from age, and mildew lingered in the air. It reminded her of home. While this might not be a stable, it felt the same. From how similar the stale air smelled to 99, she guessed the circulation system was in poor repair. Dr. Zandros's zebras might have been good with terminals, but it seemed other fundamentals were lacking.
How long was I out?
She swallowed, realizing her throat ached.
And why is my throat sore?
A few hours, and probably from all the screaming.
Precious rubbed her budding horns.
There was some sobbing, too.
Great. From the green menace to the pony basket case.
Scotch grumbled, grabbing the pillow and pulling it over her head.
I quit. You're in charge now.
Sweet!
Precious cheered.
Okay, we're going to take this place over and make it my new dragon pony fortress. We'll have my hoard over there, a fighting pit over there. Oh, and a giant polished gold statue of me right there.
Scotch pulled her head out from beneath the pillow and saw Precious grinning as she pointed off to one side. Then the dragon filly glanced back down at her before scoffing.
Seriously, you can't quit. I don't think you know how. What would you do if you quit? Hang out here? Try to go back to the hearth? It's not like you've got a lot of options.
Scotch sighed and rolled onto her back, hugging the pillow to her chest.
I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm spirit-touched, but I don't know why. We're going to Rome to find something out, but I don't even know if it matters. There's a whole frigging new empire trying to kill me for reasons.
Wanna swap? You can be the freak of nature and I'll be the spirit molested?
Scotch couldn't help but chuckle. She rarely got just to talk with Precious like this, and it was helping her put her breakdown out of mind.
You're not a freak of nature,
Scotch smirked.
In fact, you're a cutie.
She'd expected a snort and a roll of Precious's eyes, but instead got an actual blush from the dragon filly.
Freak of science, then.
Precious tried again.
A freaky mishmash of pony and dragon. Hideous in my abominationness. Hideous!
She twisted her lips.
I think Medina's rubbing off on me.
You aren't hideous or a freak or an abomination,
Scotch said, reaching up to boop Precious on the nose, but missed and got her cheek instead. Precious turned her face into the touch, closing her eyes with a smile that jolted Scotch's train of thought. She needed to switch onto smoother tracks before it jumped the rails.
Where's Pisia now?
Scotch glanced around the barracks.
Actually, where's everyone?
Medina's geeking out about that 12th guy. This guy's probably trying to figure out how to kill everyone in here with a paperclip and his own bad attitude. Charity's trying to buy the whole place with some old rations and a block of salt. And Pythia's going nuts over their maps, trying to make sense of where we're going next.
Good luck,
Scotch muttered.
Nothing makes sense anymore.
Precious flopped down beside her. Close. Really close.
Well, so what? Nothing in my life makes sense either. According to Dr. Dipshit, I was a weapon. Some dragon pony super soldier crap. I felt like one too. You were the first friend I ever had. The first person that actually talked to me like I was a person. Like I could be a person with you.
Precious snuggled up to her. The scales felt strange against Scotch's fur, but not unpleasant.
I'll never forget that.
Scotch didn't recall the precise details how they'd met. She'd been too terrified of getting burnt or eaten, but they'd been trying to save Priest and the Crusaders of Chapel from Sanguine. She reached back into her memories, around that hole. She'd gotten Precious away, asking her if she wanted to play. they'd gone to one of the old houses. The exchange came like an old pipback recording.
I'm a monster. I don't think you're a monster. Look at me, I'm a freak, I'm ugly. I don't think you're ugly at all. I think you're really pretty. You think so? You're not just lying so I won't eat you, are you? No, I think you're really cute, Precious.
Suddenly, Scotch's mind gave a lurch, like a tablecloth being yanked. Only, instead of being pulled out flawlessly, all the dishes went crashing to the floor.
Precious?
She murmured as the dragon filly snuggled up against her.
Are you okay? Are any of us?
She muttered with a frown. Scotch stared at her for a moment, then carefully shifted on her side to hold her. Precious's frown subsided with a sigh.
I get it. I know you and Pythia are a special thing. I don't know what kind of thing, but I get it. You like her. Like her. Like her. Special. I get it.
She repeated, dejected. Scotch held her close and finally asked in a voice that cracked,
Do you like me? Like me like me?
Precious let out a sigh, closing her eyes with a sigh.
Oh, sweet shiny, you actually asked me, finally.
She pressed her face into Scotch's chest.
You know, I used to dream you'd ask me something like this, and I'd say something, and then, well, I don't know, but I kind of assumed it'd be good. Now it's just...
Her tail weakly thumped the mattress beside Scotch.
Why couldn't you have asked a year ago? Because Vicious would have killed me,
Scotch muttered weakly.
But you do... Like me? Like you?
She snorted, trying to maintain her shield of scorn, but it crumbled as Scotch looked on.
I don't know, kinda. You're nice to me, like, really nice to me. Do you think anyone's ever called me cute before? But I get that you and Pythia have that thing.
She let out a soft huff, shaking her head a little.
I was hoping that maybe you'd just get over it, or get bored with her, or have a fight and I'd be there, your dashing dragon knight, to swoop in and save the day. But that never happened. I couldn't ever get you alone to just talk.
She turned her face away.
Not that I'd known what to say if we did.
Scotch wanted to say she'd been busy, but knew that was a lie. When she did have time, she spent it more with Pythia talking about spirit things and, more recently, that damned book.
Sorry,
she murmured.
I just thought you were more interested in Skylord.
Precious laughed, then let out a long sigh.
Sky's weird. Good weird. We're a lot alike, and I think that's kind of the problem. When we're together, it's always a fight. That's good. I like a fight. But...
She rubbed her temples.
I don't think he knows what he wants. I've never heard him call me cute or anything. I just know that whatever I want to feel from him, I don't. I want to wrestle, Sky. Tweak his beak and give him a noogie. I don't want to, you know, stuff.
She tapped her claws together, blushing horribly.
And you want stuff from me?
Precious bit her lip.
I don't know, maybe, I think.
She turned her eyes away again.
I don't know.
She rubbed her face.
I don't know how to talk about this. Let me sink my fangs into something meaty and I'm good. Talking about feelings is all squishy.
I didn't think you'd
like fillies,
Scotch confessed.
Oh, sweet silver, this is it, isn't it? The talk.
Precious groaned again, tightening up and squirming a little.
I have no idea. I didn't even start thinking about it before Rice River. Most of us didn't grow up in a stable where you just did that. I didn't know. I'd like to know, but I'm also terrified that I'll screw something up and you'll hate me, and I don't think I could survive you hating me. And there's the thing with you and Pythia.
She closed her eyes.
Did you have a special some pony back in your stable?
Scotch had been trying not to think that far back. It was full of pain and regret that she couldn't do anything about.
Kinda. I mean, Mom was a maintenance mare, and I was a maintenance foal. There were a dozen or so of us. We'd take things apart because we got bored, and then panic if we couldn't put them back together. Once we rigged a talisman to put out helium, but every pony in security and the Overmass office were yelling with these crazy squeaky voices. Sometimes we'd slip to a utility room and make a bed. Be nice to each other. Do stuff. It was just what ponies did there.
She closed her eyes. It'd only been 2 years, but they were already fuzzy.
I wouldn't call any of them special. If you called someone your special pony, they'd look at you funny and textbook would warn you about getting overly attached. We made each other feel good. It was nice, but that's all it ever was.
That was the best you got in 99.
The thing you have with Pythia is special, though,
Precious said.
Right?
Scotch let out a long sigh.
I don't know what our thing is, Precious. I'm interested in her. She's interested in me, I think. I'm spirit-touched, and she's got some really weird stuff going on. Then there's the fact she won't admit she's a shaman when she did shaman things. I mean, I know she says to avoid the spirits noticing her or something. That's fine. Don't do shaman stuff. But I still don't know why she has to stay under the radar like that. Why can't she just be honest and explain it all to me? Why does she have to make it all a secret?
Scotch stared at the underside of the bed above her, but it had as many answers for her as Pythia.
It's like this big convoluted thing, and every time she gives that excuse, sometimes it's so mystifying it drives me mad.
She rubbed her face with a hoof.
I'm not sure if we'll ever get over it. You could have me,
Precious whispered.
In the meantime, I could be special for you.
There was a part of her that wanted that. It would just be convenient. A good way to scratch that itch that hadn't been attended to since Rice River. Blackjack, she knew, would have gone for it instantly, both for fun and to give comfort. But she wasn't Blackjack. She'd just be using her friend, and she didn't like doing it just to try to feel better. She'd learned that in a rocket, where trying to be Blackjack had just left her awfully sore and embarrassed.
Sorry, Scotch murmured. You deserve better than just in the meantime.
Precious hid her face and started to tremble, then emitted tiny, soft sobs. Scotch couldn't say anything but just hold her and wait, and try not to wince. Her tears were almost painfully hot. The snot was like hot wax soaking into her coat, but she bore it as stoically as possible. Finally, Precious lifted her face enough to wipe away the tears.
I feel so stupid, she grumbled. You were here and alone and I'm an idiot. We all are,
Scotch sighed, nuzzling her brow.
One crazy wagon load of kids on a quest in the Zebra Lands.
She rubbed away the tears as she gave her a half smile. Scotch took a second to try to wipe some of the dragon mucus elsewhere as Precious said,
"Kids, Scotch, have you looked in a mirror lately?"
Precious asked.
"We're like practically adults."
"No,"
Scotch protested, then frowned and looked down at herself, her eyes widening with revelation.
"Wait, when did that happen?"
How old was she exactly? Her brain tried to put numbers to it, but with shock she realized she was almost the same age as Blackjack when she'd gone running all over the hoof.
"That's why the wagon's been so snug, huh?"
"Had to happen sooner or later,"
Precious said, scrubbing her face of any sign of her previous sorrow.
"We'll be fine. If I know Charity, she's probably gotten a second tractor by now. Or three."
Her eyes widened.
"Oh, or one for each of us. Can you imagine cruising all over the wasteland in a convoy armed to the teeth? I'm going to paint flames on mine. Purple flames,"
she said with a grin, all evidence of her confession neatly suppressed. She'd put herself out there, let Scotch see something special, and had been rejected. Now it was back to pretending like she didn't care.
"Yeah, purple flames. It'll be awesome,"
Scotch agreed, trying hard to smile to keep up the illusion. Precious took a deep breath.
"Come on, let's find the others."
She rolled off the stiff bed and onto her feet.
"You good with that?"
she asked a moment later, her brow furrowed. Well, she wasn't going to get much better.
"Yeah, sure."
Precious walked to the door and paused, claw on the frame, looking back at her.
"And, what I said?"
Scotch barked, giving a sickly little smile.
"Yeah, no, don't worry, I won't say anything, even to Pythia."
Precious nodded and rolled out, and she followed behind. Out in the hall, there was a number of zebras, but none of them met her eye for more than a moment.
"What's up with them?"
Scotch asked as they rapidly trotted away from her.
"They're trying not to get your curse all over them or some junk. They make it sound like your nasty flu or something,"
Precious said with a snort. Scotch wasn't so sure of that. How could a spirit touch curse be spread?
"Where's everyone?"
They weren't far. After a stop in a bathroom, where Scotch thanked the unappreciated spirits of good plumbing, Precious led her to a cafeteria where Charity seemed to be in earnest negotiations to trade a tub of axle grease for a chunk of salt. From the pile of loot beside her and the predatory glint in her eye, Scotch thought it best not to throw her off her game. Magina and Skylord were talking, and Zebra waved them both over.
"Hey, how are you doing?"
she asked Scotch, slipping out of her seat to run up and give her a hug.
"You were really better for a while. What happened?"
"Oh, just some serious psychological trauma,"
Scotch said with a strained little laugh.
"Nothing major. What about you? What are you up to?"
"Finally, you can talk Zarius off instead,"
Skylord said as he vacated his seat.
"You don't have any ears,"
Precious replied.
"Case in point,"
he snapped, then trotted past Scotch towards Charity at the merchant.
"I'm going to make sure she's getting the right caliber."
"He's relieved too. Said you were shell-shocked or something,"
Magina said before looking at her.
"And there's a tremendous 12 here, like an actual one of the 12. He—"
she danced on her hoofs in glee before pausing.
"Okay, a brain-damaged member, but still."
"He's the real deal?"
Precious asked.
"I mean, he looks like a corpse with wires in his brain, but—"
she glanced at Scotch and fell silent.
"Oh, he's real, and if he's not, then he's as close as I'll probably get to one.
He couldn't exactly answer all my questions, but he knew enough details that I'm convinced. Even if his answers were incoherent at times. But who was he? Siegfried?
Scotch asked, having to rack her brains for the name.
Oh, he was the youngest colt on the team. Some sort of wonder child prodigy with terminals and networks and everything. He reverse-engineered like half of pony technology on his own without even thinking about it. And came up with quite a few tricks on his own.
Magina rattled off with a cocky waggle of her brows.
He'd trip up pony surveillance networks, plant all kinds of false data, and once even took over a pony thunderhead with a model plane remote.
Magina said with a laugh. Scotch wasn't so sure of all that, but didn't care enough to argue.
So when did he become a shaman?
Magina's eyes widened.
He wasn't a shaman. Only Ignacia was a shaman on the team, with her fire spirits.
Sounds like my kind of mare,
Precious chuckled. Magina arched a brow at the dragon filly in surprise, and she stumbled.
What? What's wrong with fire?
Huh,
Magina muttered, squirming as Precious scrunched up her mouth. Scotch approached Magina with a frown.
But the stuff he did in Rice River, the way he's now, are you saying none of it has anything to do with spirits?
Of course it does, came the ready voice of Dr. Zandros as he approached. He's spirit-touched, he announced gravely.
The old stallion's television face mask turned to that of the cartoony blue-striped zebra, who gave a soundless laugh before flickering away into static.
Spirit-touched?
Scotch's eyes jumped to the screen. Every now and then, Siegfried flickered in with his face contorted in some strange way, only to disappear a moment later.
What spirit? How?
The old zebra pushed his mask back, looking down at her with pale blue eyes.
Walk with me. This isn't a casual conversation for the cafeteria.
Scotch looked at the others, but rose.
I'll be back in a bit.
Together, they trotted out to the hall.
Sorry if my people are standoffish, but after what happened to Siegfried, I don't want to take any chances.
You act as if being spirit-touched is a disease.
Scotch groused, a touch defensively.
Ha! I wish! Then we could just cure it, or quarantine it.
Dr. Zandros said with a disapproving shake of his head.
No, when it comes to spirits, nothing is certain or even predictable. Just talking to you might curse me, but if so, perhaps I can keep it to myself.
I'm not cursing anyone.
No,
he countered.
Siegfried was already cursed before he crossed paths with you. Then he had a chance to peek into Rice River's secrets. Boy was always too curious for his own good. But having the building broke down while he was still in its infosphere broke him. Granted, he was a bit cracked before, but now...
A cartoon zebra appeared. Cracks ran through him, and he shattered like glass. The shards grinned at her before disappearing.
Well, we'll be on our way then.
It's more complicated than that. If Siegfried wanted you here, it has to be for a reason. And since you are here...
He paused and pushed up his mask to regard her with his limpid eyes.
Well, I might as well use your freakish pony powers to try and help put him back to normal.